Today's guest is Elizabeth Pickworth, a Brisbane mother, resilience coach and rare cancer survivor, not once but twice, with an extraordinary story of survival. Elizabeth is a passionate advocate for evidence-based medicine and wellness and a board member of the Rare Cancer Australia. She believes the unregulated wellness industry puts vulnerable people at risk, and she joins us today to share why getting health information from the right experts could quite literally save your life. We've loved so very much speaking with Elizabeth. The message that she carries is a vital one in a world flooded with wellness trends. Please, Liz.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's a very long one, so I'll try and keep it succinct. So at the age of 31, I was diagnosed with a very late stage rare cancer. Over the past couple of years before then, I was really, really tired and, you know, seeing the doctors quite often and, you know, couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and I was losing my hair and anyway, didn't think much of it. I thought, you know, it's just, you know, raising a toddler, you know, being a mum, being tired. We were living in Brisbane at the time in Griffin, and then my husband and I, a few months later, we relocated to Canberra for jobs. We both work for the federal government. And anyway, long story short, in the middle of the night, I had this chest pain that just would not go away, and it was relentless for hours. It was like an earthquake was in my chest. And my husband was out with a friend, and I didn't want to he may have been home at the particular time where I was awake, but I didn't want to cause him any alarm. But anyway, in the morning when I was getting ready for work and he was getting ready for work as well, I just said, you know, I don't feel right. I just feel like something is wrong. So I had some cold and flu tablets, soldiered on to work. And then by 10 o'clock in the morning, I was in excruciating pain. So I just said to my boss, look, I've got to go. Got to go and see a doctor. And there I was, you know, driving in the car with one hand on my chest and holding the steering wheel. By the time I got to the GP clinic, my temperature was almost 40 degrees and I almost collapsed. And I was shivering. The doctor ran out and saw me, called an ambulance. And the funny thing was, my daughter's daycare was directly across the road from the GP clinic, and my daughter saw me being carried off in a stretcher in the ambulance. And anyway, even when I was in the ambulance, I didn't want to cause my husband any alarm, because I just thought, this is just, you know, I'm probably just got a bug or something. I have no idea. And I was in, you know, emergency for a few hours. Still didn't call my husband because, again, didn't want to cause alarm. You know, didn't want to be a drama queen. And then I had a chest x-ray. And this was probably about a few hours of, you know, waiting in the ER as you do. And the doctor came and pulled up a chair and sat down next to me and said, is there someone that we can call? And I just knew just then that, oh, God, there is something, because my father died of a rare cancer. And she said, we found a massive mass in your chest. And so I just burst in tears, because all I could think of, you know, is I'm starting to well up now, my daughter is my life. I can't have this happen to me, because I went through it with my dad. And anyway, so the doctor called my husband. My husband came with our daughter and showed him the x-ray, and it was literally my entire chest cavity was covered in a massive tumour that extended all the way through my diaphragm. And so I had a few rounds of chemotherapy. One of the agents was called the Red Devil, and it's one of the strongest – well, it is the strongest chemotherapy you can have. So I had I think it was cisplatin, doxorubicin and cyclophosphamide, if any of your listeners have had that regime before, the CAP regime they call it. Mm-hmm. And so I had a few rounds of that, but it really didn't shrink the tumour, but it shrank it enough for a surgeon to consider surgery. So the surgeon in Canberra said, look, I can probably only give you 1 or 2 years. But, you know, I'm going to refer you to a colleague of mine, and he's one of five in Australia that does surgery on asbestos cancer patients, and he's the best. And so after getting that news, 15 minutes later I was back at work just pretending everything was normal. Because my husband and I, we were in such financial strife. I had my daughter youngish in my 20s. My husband was a migrant, and we were just, you know, living week to week. There were times when we didn't even have money for groceries. And so I just had to go to work and just power on. And anyway, we went down to Sydney and saw the surgeon, and he saved my life not once but twice when the cancer a couple of years later spread to my spine. So I had most of my left lung removed. So it was an open heart surgery. Most of my left lung removed, the sac around my heart removed. I've got an artificial diaphragm because it just spread extensively. And when they opened me up, they stopped counting at 35 tumours. So from there, I had some more chemotherapy and radiation. Then it came back, spread to my spine. And luckily, I was operated on before I lost the ability to walk and lose bladder and bowel function. And then since then, and that was 2021. And then since then, I've just been on continuous different lines of chemotherapy. I just finished a week ago, 2 weeks of radiotherapy on my sternum because a couple of years ago, my cancer just metastasized to my bones, my lymph nodes, and my liver. And the tumor in my liver was 9 centimeters. And I was pretty much told that it's curtains for you now, Liz. And at that time, my daughter was 9. She's now 12. She just had her birthday a few days ago. Mm-hmm. She does think that she is 16, but she is in fact 12. Because of that, we had to, you know, reevaluate our lives. I was put on a chemo regime and then, lived past that 2 years. Then last year, because my cancer wasn't responding to treatment, my doctor said, look, you know, and this was actually the weekend of my husband's 40th birthday. So we booked, and my daughter's school camp, her very first school camp. So we drove up. I had chemotherapy in the morning and then we drove up to the Sunshine Coast in the afternoon to celebrate my husband's 40th. And we had friends coming from Sydney to visit. And so my daughter also could go to her school camp. And I was told pretty much, Liz, you need to start making arrangements, start planning your funeral. Mm-hmm. And I remember my husband going out with his friend to just have coffee at the Novotel on the Sunshine Coast, and I was playing, I think it was the song, I think it's called Tears in Heaven. Mm-hmm. And I was just bursting in tears thinking, oh my God, is my daughter going to remember me? Anyway, I lived past that diagnosis, and my doctor said, look, I can put you on chemotherapy. It's not guaranteed to work, but you're going to have to come in every week for it. And I know how much you hate hospitals, because so many times my doctor said to me, you need to go into hospital. And I've said to her, no, I'm not going into hospital. I'm going to work instead. And I know that she would be very annoyed at me because I'm not following her medical advice. So she knows that I hate hospitals so much. But recently I've been really, really following her advice and looking after myself. And because of that, I think it's, you know, the treatment is working. I have a really good diet. I have put on quite a bit of weight because I'm on, you know, weekly steroids, but I joined Fernwood, which is a brilliant gym in North Lakes and a brilliant community to be part of. And, I'm eating well, working with a personal trainer, and I'm just living life, you know, as a normal person, not making a big deal out of it. And throughout the last 8 years that I was diagnosed with cancer, you know, even though it's all what my daughter's known, we've never made a big deal out of it because we've tried to live life as normal as possible, because you never know what could happen. You know, there was this beautiful couple that unfortunately was in a car accident in Moranbah Downs over the weekend, and the wife died. The husband's in a critical condition, and, you know, the kids are left without a mum. So you just have to make use of the life that you have, and there's no point in feeling miserable all the time, is there?
No. And that positive outlook, Elizabeth, is shining through as you speak.
Thank you.
And yes, it's all about how you see and perceive,
yes,
isn't it?
So 100%.
Wonderful. Yeah. Liz, I know that in my introduction, I said that the pseudo medical profession you were talking about, I shouldn't call it a profession, I suppose.
No.
But you said, you know, be aware of that. Give us a little insight into that.
Yeah, so there is the wellness industry, and, you know, if you would see me here, I'd be using those bunny ears quote, end quote.
Yes.
You know, the wellness industry is filled with non-evidence-based practices. And if you saw, I think it was last year or the year before, it may have been the year before, Todd Sampson did an excellent documentary on the wellness industry that's perpetuated by Gwyneth Paltrow and others. So people with very high status promoting pseudoscience, you know, non-evidence-based mumbo-jumbo essentially. And it's just rife. And people fall into that trap of, you know, undergoing non-evidence-based treatments, whether or not they've got cancer or if they have a chronic health condition, or even if they're just simply healthy. You know, things like, say anything bad about people's practices, but, you know, Reiki is not going to cure your cancer. So there are, you know, practitioners out there that promise that they're going to cure certain conditions, and there's absolutely no evidence that they actually work. No. And as a cancer patient, I've seen it time and time again. Both my father, and he passed away 15 years ago, you know, it's been something that's been happening for, you know, decades. I think it was in the 1970s where that sort of pseudoscientific, you know, this vitamin is going to cure all of your ails sort of exploded, where, you know, vitamin C became the cure-all for the common cold when there's actually no evidence that it actually works. But anyway, that's a bit of a tangent. But there's a lot of online forums, especially on Discord and Reddit, that promote things called programs like the protocol, they call it, that cures everything from chronic fatigue syndrome, cancer, autism, etc. You know, they have this entire treatment protocol, which is non-evidence-based, being promoted to thousands of people. And I'm extremely worried that, you know, very vulnerable people with actual real medical conditions are going to have really poor outcomes and could potentially die. So that's why I'm really passionate about evidence-based wellness. I think wellness can be evidence-based if it's combined with traditional, conventional medical practices.
So there is a little spot there for that sort of thing, but stay with the real thing.
100%.
In the first instance.
Yeah. I mean, things like, you know, getting lymphatic draining massage, that works. Acupuncture as well. You know, there are many different practices that, you know, when used with conventional medicine, have great outcomes. And even if it's just psychological, that psychological part can actually help patients survive longer if they're more positive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. And resilience, advocacy, and living with purpose, Liz.
Yes.
I think that could be your mantra, could it, up there in bright lights. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I had a, you know, journalist background as a kid. I went to school in the bush in Sydney. I know it sounds silly that there's bush in Sydney.
There
used to be in Terry Hills. Yeah. So we used to drive about 45 minutes each way to school, and my parents would always play the news. And so from a very, very young age, I was just always attuned to what was happening across the world. And this was the early 90s. And then my father was a clinical psychologist, and he had this really bushy beard. And late at night, I used to see Darren Hinch on TV. And I used to think that Darren Hinch was my father because my dad would be at his practice at all hours. And my mum would say, "No, Liz, that's Darren Hinch. That's not your dad." And so I've always gravitated towards, you know, careers that have meaning. I mean, Rosemary, you're a journalist. Your career has deep meaning. I think it's, you know, a purpose that you feel working in journalism. It's a calling, kind of like medicine and other professions. And so, you know, being diagnosed with a rare late-stage cancer, you then start to reevaluate, well, what is the purpose and meaning of my life and how can I help others? And I was very lucky at the time of my diagnosis that I had a very supportive workplace, and I got in touch with Rare Cancers Australia, and both of them combined did a fundraiser for me. And still, that's, you know, there's a little bit of money still left there because I've had to take, you know, substantial time off when there's been surgeries and treatment and, you know, over the last 8 years because there were times where, you know, I didn't even have enough money to buy you know, the uniform for my daughter to start school at kindy at the local public school. So anyway, I thought, you know, then I really need to have a strong purpose in life. And I joined the Board of Rare Cancers Australia working on optimal care pathways for rare and less common cancers, which will actually now be the benchmark for the way that we look at optimal care pathways for all cancers in Australia. I'm also on the Thoracic Oncology Working Group, as my cancer is a rare thoracic cancer, and also on the Community Advisory Board. So the Community Advisory Board or Consumer Advisory Board is, you know, all of us patients coming together and looking at ways at how we can improve the patient-to-patient or the patient-to-medico experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Liz, you know, your daughter Lindy just must be a sweetheart of a child because I can sort of, I can feel your passion and you know, the purpose that you have living through all of the things that you have. But how wonderful for little Lindy. Liz, on closing, give us a couple of little messages there that we can leave for anybody that's listening to this podcast.
Sure. I think, you know, the most important thing I say to people is, you know, just be kind to each other because you never know what someone is going through. You know, the fact that I got told I can only give you 1 to 2 years of life left and then 15 minutes later, because this is Canberra, there's, you know, nowhere is far, I was sitting back at my desk pretending nothing had happened. And if, you know, if I ran into someone in the, you know, the work kitchen, they'll just go, you know, how's your afternoon? I'll just say, oh, good. Didn't tell them exactly what went on, that I got told, you know, I'm sorry, you're going to die. Just be kind to people because you never know what is hiding behind or what's going on in their mind. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I can remember my father used to say, don't judge until you've walked a mile in somebody else's shoes. And I think that's stayed with me, Liz. It has.
Oh, definitely. I can see.
You just do because you can feel compassion for others, and that's hugely important. I've got goosebumps here, listeners. So I'm going to thank Liz for coming in and speaking to us. I know that we could speak all day about this, Liz, but thank you. And I am so pleased that the medical staff didn't know that you could take it a whole lot further than 2 years. And please God, it goes on for many, many more years.
Oh, thank you, Rosemary. It's been a real pleasure. Lovely.
Thank you for coming and talking to us.
Thank you.
God bless. And that, of course, was Liz Pickworth in the studio with us, just letting us know that this message that she has is a vital one. In a world flooded with wellness trends, miracle cures and unregulated advice, evidence-based medicine and genuine expert guidance can mean the difference between life and death. Liz is proof of that. If today's conversation has prompted you to think twice about where you get your medical information, then I think this one has done the job. Share this podcast with friends and families right here on 1015fm.com.au. You never know who may need it.